Sports Review here on Planet FM, and this is proudly sponsored by Green Security. Their number is 09 846 7299. Their email is service@greensecurity.co.nz for all your security needs. Give Green Security a call. Fantastic family-owned company. I've known Gavin and Clive and Heather. I've known them for over 25 years. So, you know, it's great. It's a great pleasure that they're supporting me in this show, and it's a great pleasure to have back. For the first time this year, AJ Wheaton. Good afternoon to you, AJ. Great to have you back, mate.
Yeah, been good. Been a while, mate. Circumstances, travel, and something called work, which you know little about because you just talk waffle when you're on the radio. Get paid for it. Wish I had a job, mate. But
I don't get paid for this. I do it for the love. I do it for the love, AJ. I do it all for the love, man.
Because I don't know you would get paid. But anyway, mate.
That's true, too.
My condolences in regards to Jenny Craig pulling out because obviously he used to rely on them a lot. So hopefully they go backwards.
I was going to say, you know, we're in a new location now. You'll have a laugh at this. When I was coming in on the bus, because I had to do a bit of physiotherapy on my as you know, I had a bit of an accident at the beginning of the year. So I was going past, and they had something called a gut clinic. And I was thinking I might go across the road to them and see if they'd offer services to be a co-sponsor, you know, like, because they would actually they'd get a lot of money out of me. Definitely would get a lot of money.
Yeah, we get one for free, you and I. Let's make it a date.
Then we'll have to tell a few mistruths about, you know, like our lifestyles and everything, you know, when it comes to good food and good wine. Anyway, AJ, just on a side note, it really is good to have you back. You've had a bit of a tough start to the year. First of all, condolences about your father. I know he meant a lot to you, and of course, just last week your auntie.
It's been a rough year. Couple of weeks here. Obviously, my dad, but very close to my auntie, John and Mark Wheaton. You know them, of course. Eden. Me and John, so yeah, love and thoughts out to them, and I'll see them next week when we have the big send-off, but yeah, nice of you to mention it, thank you.
No problem at all. Wow, it's been a hell of a week of Super Rugby, AJ, and I have to... So we kicked off on Friday, Crusaders 41, Moana Pacific 7. To be straight to the point, great to see Will Jordan back, but, you know, this guy, Tamuaiti Williams, he really... Every game he plays, he gets better. He's an All Black. I believe he's going to be in this All Black squad this year for the World Cup. But some good performances by Scott Barrett and Callum Grace.
You mentioned Tamati Williams. I mean, his hands right up now, of course, with some injuries in our front row. Of course, Moody's going to be out. So, look, it's opportunity time, and if the Crusader machine keeps rolling, you know what it's like. If you're winning teams, you seem to get the nod. You did mention, obviously, Callum Grace. Yeah, stepping up big time, the way he carries the ball. Good yards for the... Went out really quickly, didn't they? Got a big lead by half time. Went off the ball a bit, or you give some credit to Moana Pacific. I think, you know, the Whanake was causing a bit of trouble out in the loose with Falingi, and of course that big man Anisi. So they don't give up, the Moana Pacific, but they just lack the depth and probably just making the right decisions at the right time. But the Crusaders, we knew they were going to lock in four points and the bonus came, but too good all round. And as I said, good to see Will Jordan and, of course, our boy out there who's coming back from his injuries too, and Jack Goodhue. But certainly need the run. They're not quite there yet, and it's, you know, takes a while. So the more games they get, the better it'll be for everybody.
Well, there's been some other Aaron Major is seen out the season. He won't put his hand up for next season. Of course, the rumour mill has started. Levi Amua maybe getting an early release, and they're predicting that he may be heading towards the Blues for the 2024 Super Rugby season.
wow, let's watch this space. But look, it's tough. I mean, we knew it was going to be hard for Moana Pacifica, you know, to get players of depth, of quality, experience. There's only so many teams, and they get snapped up by the, as we say, the teams that are more consistent and winning. And you can't blame players making sure that, you know, they're in teams that give them a better opportunity. So, yeah, it's going to be a battle yet. He's up in stakes, and he's away.
Then we go on to the Blues 45, the Reds 26. A really tough. It could be a banana skin game for the Blues. But Mark Talia, you know, wow. There's been a lot of pressure put on him and Kayla Clark, but Mark Talia was just fantastic to watch. Bowden Barrett was back to his best, but some real concerns about that injury. But really, really impressed with Suafoa and Hosking Satutu. Really good games by them.
Yeah, look, we're on the same page. Sofia came on, and it starts up front. There was some good foundation there. They had to work hard, and Satutu and Choate, and you only worked well in the loose, but you got to have the platform. So a big rap for the tight five. But you mentioned Barrett. Yep, he had a bit to prove. There's no doubt about it, and he took the leadership role. But it just goes to show you how a weaker turnaround with consistent ball, quality ball, and just doing the right thing. I thought Lamb played exceptionally well on the wing there, and Talia, great combination. Yeah. And this team, did he come on and create the space for these guys? And so I think there was just some energy there. Boy, put some pressure on Caleb Clark, all right, hasn't it? Because the back three went exceptionally well, mate. So you don't really like to change a combination coming to the real tough end for the Blues with Hurricanes and Highlanders, must-win games to secure a top four. So, good plus for them. They bounced back. The Reds, they never give it up, do they? But gave them a wee bit of fright, but in the end, quality. And came to the forefront.
Absolutely. And, of course, the Highlanders, a golden the last play of the game, Sam Gilbert penalty, 20 over the Rebels, 17. Great to see Aaron Smith. He has a positive influence on that Highlander side. But Billy Harmon, just a workhorse. And, of course, Ethan de Groot, always to the fore.
Yeah, well, you've got a couple. I mentioned some top players there, quality players, you know, All Blacks, Smith and the group there, and you know, Frizzell playing at lock, you know, good on him. It just gives him that versatility, but obviously really needs to be playing at six if he's going to get the nod for the World Cup. And Harmon and Renton, just big hearts. Again, a team that probably lacks all-round depth. Nariki's got some skills but needs more ball. I thought Garden Bashup actually at 15 had a solid game, good under the high ball. But I tell you what, the Fours, it's taken them a while, but they're showing, starting to show some guts there. They're hanging in there and they put pressure. You know, I like that combination of Lawrence and Hodge at first and halfback. So, and Hardik at number 8 ran hard. So, look, they had to work for it, but an important win for the Highlanders, not only for their credibility but confidence. Going into that last couple of weeks, they need to make the top 8. Watch this space.
Yes, and that will be it's a very tight race for that top 8. But then, of course, we go on to the Saturday night match in New Zealand. The Chiefs 23, the Hurricanes 12. Jason Holland had made a number of changes. The Chiefs, very good. Their pack is very good. Takiaho, one of the best. If he's not the best hooker in the world, I don't know who. Tupu Vae, Retallick, Kane, the whole loose forward trio played very, very well. But really impressed with the fight back from the Hurricanes. I'm picking them to be the dark horse of this competition because they could be a side that could upset someone. You know, I looked at it, Braden Oshie, what a fantastic try. James Blackwell, well, they really played well, AJ.
Yeah, well, you've got some experience here. The Hurricanes, on their day, they get it right, they click it right, and let's be frank, they had, a couple of players, obviously, their All Blacks were rested, and if it was 23-12, that's no whitewash, and they were under the pump a lot, but they showed their heart, and you mentioned Blackwell and Walker Lawleri, they played well there, and the loose forwards, Kariffi, Lucy, and Flanders, that Flanders has been around. And we've got that nippy half there, Roygaard, who's putting his hand up for higher honours. But look, I thought the game was played in atrocious conditions. I mean, jeepers, it was bursting down. Are we allowed to say that on the air? I don't know.
Don't worry. I'll pay the fine, AJ. It's all good.
They should have been playing in raincoats and gumboots. That's how bad it was.
Oh, it was terrible.
They hung in there. But the quality at times was very good in those conditions. But it just goes to show you, when you get top teams playing, you know, you watch it, you gravitate towards the telly, and then, you know, sadly lacking in the competition at times, it's just been a wee bit disjointed in quality games. And this is the one you watched, a bit like last week with the Crusaders. So great rugby in those conditions, and it just showed you where the Chiefs are to bounce back after their loss the week before. So, yep, they're back on the plane again, and good game of rugby in those conditions, and that's my top four. I'm picking the Hurricanes to be there anyway in the end, so that game next week against the Blues, that'll be a cracker.
And of course, some of the other results: the Waratahs 38, Fiji and Druna 18. Now, this was an upset: the Force 34, the Brumbies 19. I didn't see that coming, but then again, the Force are so hard to beat in Perth, so it really sets up for a great weekend of Super Rugby. Obviously, the Blues versus the Hurricanes at Eden Park, but this one is going to be a really good game. It's going to be the Brumbies versus the Chiefs in Canberra. The Brumbies will be hurting after that loss against the Force. That should be a cracker of a game.
Yeah, and a must win for them, is it? Because on the tables there, you know, as you're right, against the Force, and sorry, I mentioned it was the Rebels, the Highlanders played, but okay. The Force at home are a different beast, aren't they? I mean, they've had 5 wins this year. So, I mean, you know, home has become a fortress for them, and the Brumbies. Yeah, but indifferent the last couple of weeks. Even though they won, they had to fight hard last week. So, yep, the top four, the Hurricanes are just sitting out of it. The Brumbies, yes, they're still ahead. They must win this game for them to keep in that top four. And as we mentioned, the big one on the weekend, the Blues Hurricanes. So, yep, some good footy there. Let's hope the teams come to the forefront and show their wares. And we look forward to seeing what's going to happen at the end of the one round to go, mate. It's going to be fighting tooth and nail to secure those top four.
Well, of course, and of course, we'll be catching up at the quarterfinals time. You're on a bit of a break. You've got a lot of things on, so I will have an admirable replacement to replace you. I know it's going to be hard because, as you know, to have a great All Black like you, and by the way, you're buying the first best, and you won't be here when Eden are playing Grammar, will you?
No, I won't be, but I know the result will be 58-7.
Oh, no, don't, no. Okay, and, okay. Yeah, that was written on this. That was former All Black AJ Whitten. Hey, AJ, have a great trip. Stay safe, and we'll catch up in a few weeks' time. Ladies and gentlemen, AJ Whitten. Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye.
AJ Whitten, he's such a character, and I really enjoy his on. He's off for a few weeks, so I'll be sorting out a replacement for AJ. So we're going to get on a bit of music, and then we're going to speak to Frank Endicott about some NRL.
But the show, it must go on, and the circus train moves down the line from Memphis to Fort Worth. Appearing in your hometown, the greatest show on earth. Step up, buy a ticket.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here, brought to you by Green Security. The way of the future, keeping it a safer community to everyone to live in. Wow, it's been a warrior-less NRL weekend, but it's still been a fantastic weekend of NRL, and here to speak to us, and I was speaking to him yesterday about the merits of rugby and rugby union. He gave me a very graphic opinion of that, but we can't really mention that on air. It's always great to have him. Frank Endicott, how are you?
How Hey, well, I'm very well, thanks, mate. It was a good discussion.
Yeah. Well, we won't get into the intricacies of it. And by the way, and if anyone who was at Alexandra Park, Millwood Nike, 14 in a row, co-owner, a very proud co-owner, and Frank Endicott. So it's really going well, that horse of yours, mate.
Yeah, she's a lovely filly, and long may it continue. Anyone, she's out for a 5-week spell now, and then in for the spring campaign.
That's great, and I hope to be following it very, very soon. Wow, it's been a hell of a weekend of NRL, and we're going to start it off before we speak at the end briefly on the State of Origin selections. Penrith 15, the Broncos 4. This was a fantastic game, but Penrith just proved what a class act they are. Nathan Cleary, Dylan Edwards, Isaiah, really fantastic the way they played. And of course, you know, Broncos fought well. Pat Carrigan had a good game, but it was a hell of a good match to start off the weekend.
If you go back through the weeks, Amon, the Thursday night games always open up for a great weekend of league. It's every game has been a beauty, and this was a class act by the Penrith Panthers, I thought. You know, even to show their arrogance at the end by putting the drop goal over to make it 15 to 4, Broncos weren't disgraced. I thought Broncos played very well without their playmaker, Reynolds. But at the end of the day, the class comes through, and they're going to be thereabouts by the end of the year, I would imagine.
I would say, yeah, I believe they're definitely going to be in the hunt for the top eight, possibly top four. You know, the Broncos have really turned it around, and they brought some good buys. Obviously, Reece Walsh was a fantastic buy for them. Anyway, we move on to the Dragons, 24, the Roosters, 22. Fantastic game of rugby, really, unfortunately, overshadowed by the Victor Radley madness, and I think he's going to be out for quite a while, Frank.
Yeah, look, Victor Radley, Victor the inflictor, they call him, and he is. He's inflicting it on his own teammates, unfortunately. Every week there's a sin bin. You know, he's getting one of those players that, you know, that's just really hurting their team, and it's a pity because he's such a good player. He's a natural rugby league player. He's tough. He's got skills. He can go 80 minutes. He's it's just a real worry for the Roosters. I think it's time the coach set him down, had a good heart to heart with him.
I believe so, because you know that potentially costs him a victory. But really, the Dragons did play well. Jaden Sua was fantastic. Ben Hunt proves why he is part of that Queensland State of Origin side. So yeah, you know, good win for the Dragons over the Roosters. I have a few problems at the Roosters. I'll say that now, Frank. Anyway, this is a result I did not pick. Yeah. I did not see coming. The Eels 36, Rabbitohs 16. Dylan Brown and Mitch Moses proved what a fantastic halves combination they are. Junior Polo, what a workhorse, what a warrior. But, you know, Cody Walker tried his best, but, you know, fantastic display by the Eels.
Oh, look, it was, and I'm the same as you. I didn't pick that either. It just came out of left field. But when you analyse it afterwards, the Eels were desperate to win a game. I mean, they were down right down the bottom of the ladder, bottom four or something, and they're playing the top team in the Rabbitohs. I just thought the Rabbitohs looked just that little bit casual. And this is what happens. If you're the top side and you're not completely up for the game and you're playing your team further down the ladder who are committed to the game, that's where the results come, you know? And they deserve that win. I agree again with you that the two halves were just simply brilliant. They're going to get better and better. They'll come up to that. They'll give that top eight a push now.
I think they definitely will now because, you know, this competition is so even. I've never seen it this even before. And, of course, then we had the early Saturday game, the Sharks 26, the Knights 6, and I have to say, wow, what a good display by Will Kennedy at fullback. Nico Hines, obviously been called into the New South Wales squad for State of Origin, well-deserved. You know, the Sharks still look the goods at the moment, Frank.
Yeah, I can see them being in the four at the end, the way they're going. I was very disappointed with the Knights again. They look to me to be a pretty flaky team, to be honest. But the Sharks are looking more solid as they go on. They've had a couple of poor games in the last few, but I think they're having a lot more better games than poor ones. And with Nico Hines there, and as you say, the fullback, they got good speed out wide. Their wingers, centre. So I think they're going to be thereabouts. I think they've got, and they've got some big forwards about ready to come back shortly in the next couple of rounds. So they're going to be there at the end.
And of course, the West Tigers 66, North Queensland Cowboys 18. Luke Brooks was on fire. What a fantastic display. Back at Leichhardt Oval. At the end, Tim Sheens gave an honest opinion on the bunker, which I know you and I spoke about yesterday. Gave his honest opinion on the way the fans have been treating Luke Brooks. Really good win for the West Tigers. You know, you don't count them out. This is how strong this competition is at the moment, Frank.
It's a huge competition at the moment. But that win, the Tigers, 66-18, would never have believed that in 1,000 years. Cowboys, on paper, are a lot better team. But they go to Leichhardt, and the Leichhardt Oval has brought down many a good team. But to win by 66-18, and I'm so pleased for Luke Brooks. In fact, I was pleased for them all. They really deserve that. They've played well lately without much luck, the Tigers, and they've gone from bottom of the ladder to about three off the bottom now, so good on them, and I hope that continues. When you talk about the tight competition, unbelievable. Five teams leading on 16 points each. You got Warriors in seventh place on 14, just that's one win away, and they're equal with two other teams also. So I think there's only three wins, 6 points between the bottom side and the first side. I've never seen that in my entire life at the halfway point of the season.
Absolutely, and I have to agree with you there. Of course, then the Dolphins 24, no, the Storm 24, the Dolphins 16, Jerome Hughes and Cam Munster, what a combination. But Ali Katoa, a former Warrior, Craig Bellamy knows how to spot them, and he had a great game, Ali Katoa did. Really impressed with him.
You can just see the brilliant improvement in that player since he's gone to Melbourne Storm. When he was at the Warriors, I thought he was too soft, and that's no disrespect. He was young, and when he got a hard knock, he stayed down or went off. Now he's maturing as a player. He's actually getting those knocks and staying on. But his running is as strong as any other player in the NRL. And he's got an eye for a hole. He knows the lines to run. I think he's going to be a very good player come the end of the year. But you touch it on the nail on the head again, the two halves. And if you look at all the teams performing at the moment, it's the halves combination that are doing it for the teams. So Melbourne have got a very good house bearing.
And I have to say, just for the Dolphins, Jermaine Osako really playing some really good football. A possible Kiwi recall at the end of the season could be on the cards for him, Frank.
Well, yeah, Christchurch lad too, you know. He came from here many years ago, but he was a fair player at the Broncos, you know. He used to have some great games, and then he'd have a poor one, and then he'd have a good one, and then he'd have a poor one. But he's a lot more consistent this year, and he's up. Is he leading the point scorers? I think he might be.
I think he is,
Or close to it. Yeah, so that says a lot in the new team, you know. I mean, I've never seen him play so well, and, I think he's going to carry on like that for the rest of the year. He's he knows how to score tries. He's got good speed. He's a good goal kicker too, you know. He's an asset to the Dolphins side.
And a possible asset to the Kiwis. Anyway, this was a cracking game. I enjoyed this one. Bulldogs 20, Titans 18. Tevita Pungai Jr., you know, he's been recalled to the New South Wales for State of Origin. He was fantastic. The usual suspect, the old Fox, but the Fox Addo Carr, really, it was actually a real fantastic. It had me on the edge of the seat, well, edge of the bar still, I should say, Frank, but really enjoyed this game.
I put this one down as the game of the round for me, the most enjoyable game of the round, because, in fact, my wife was sitting down to watch it with me, and she said, oh, no, I can't watch these two of the bottom teams. I'm not going to watch this. And she left the room, and I watched the whole game, and I said to her afterwards, that was the most exciting game of the round you missed. It was brilliant. Both teams wanted to win. Titans went out from memory 14-0. But if you look at the Titans over recent weeks, their second half displays are woeful. They know how to score points, but then they go in at half time, you know, 14 points, 12 points up. And then the second half they come out and they just fall to pieces. And if I was the coach, I wouldn't be happy with their second half performances. But the Bulldogs, they really put it in, and they deserve their win of 20-18.
Absolutely, and of course, Tommy Turbo back to its best, the hat tricks. Seagulls 42, the Raiders 14 in Canberra. Now, the Raiders have been on a hot bit of form lately, and my opinion was, I said the Raiders will beat the Seagulls. The Seagulls looked average, and you know what? Just takes that one man, Tommy Turbo, but Josh Schuster and Daly Cherry Evans had fantastic games as well, too.
They did, and I didn't see this one coming at Canberra either. I actually backed the Raiders, and they started off okay, and then just it was all manly after that. And I think Turbo needed that game to get into the State of Origin team, without any doubt, because he hadn't been playing well. He'd been playing very average, looking after himself. But he let himself go in this game, and the impact was there, wasn't it? He was the difference between the two teams in the end. And they didn't just win, they bolted in. And, to win like that in Canberra is a very good result.
It definitely was. Well, State of Origin, few surprises. Nobody expected Vita Pangai Jr. to get selected for New South Wales. Reece Walsh has been Caleb Ponga, after probably an indifferent performance for the Knights, has been basically shown the door, and they're going to bring Reece Walsh into that Queensland Maroon squad. You've got to say, on paper, New South Wales, I can't see them with the talent they've got there not winning the State of Origin, but you never write off Queensland. There's something with those Queenslanders, have really got heart.
Well, I remember this time last year, we were all saying the same thing as you just said. You know, you can't see New South Wales getting beat, and they got beat. I thought last year they would have won the series 3-0. And they got beat 2-1. So I'm thinking the same thing this year. I certainly wouldn't underrate the or write the Queenslanders off. I mean, I think they're right in this. On paper, of course, you'd go New South Wales. There's still a few judiciary issues around, isn't there, at the moment, to get their final squads together. Kifushi being one, I think he'll be definitely gone, and rightly so. I think this is going to be another even series. I'd hate to pick the winner of it. I couldn't.
I'm probably going to go for New South Wales, but, you know, Queensland, you know, you'd never write them off. Frank, once again, always great chatting to you. We'll be looking forward to our chats next week. Hopefully a Warriors victory. We can watch will be a shorter round of NRL next week, but we'll catch up again, Frank. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Eamon. Just before I go, I've got their next three games are Broncos, Dolphins and Raiders. They need to win two of the three to stay in that eight. So, and then they have another bye. So, they can win two of those three. They'll still be in the eight.
Absolutely, and I totally agree with you there, Frank. Yeah. Well, you have a great rest of the day, and we will have more interesting conversations between the merits of rugby and union rugby league in the Northern Hemisphere. So we'll catch you later, Frank. Cheers. Bye.
Okay, everyone. Thanks, mate.
Cheers.
Have a good
bye.
Day.
Bye. That was Frank Endicott. Yeah, a funny conversation we had yesterday. But anyway, next up we're going to speak to Noel Barkley to talk a bit about some EPL and some A-League and all things football.
comfort you with my own two hands, but you got to use your own two hands, use your own two hands, use your own.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here, brought to you by Green Security, the way of the future, making a safer community for people to live in. Anyway, wow, it's been a weekend where Nottingham Forest handed the EPL to Manchester City, and here to join us, as he does every Monday, former All White and one of the real good blokes in football in this country, Noel Barkley. Good afternoon, Mr. Barkley, and how are you today?
Yeah, I'm good. Good afternoon here in Waiheke, and enjoyed a lot of football over the weekend. Mixture of sort of A-League, obviously the New Zealand under-20s winning.
Very good result.
Loads of EPL at the top, the bottom. And, of course, Man United only needing a point to qualify for Europe, which I'm sure we can do, you know. I've got less heartburn than I did last week.
Yeah, I must admit, and I have to say, there's a good mate of mine who's a Aston Villa supporter, owns a coffee shop in the city. I will be seeing you tomorrow, and I will be giving you a nice man hug to thank you for your support of your fantastic team, Aston Villa. But let's get into it. A few weeks ago we said it was going to happen. The inevitable happened. Manchester City won, been crowned the Premier League champions, and of course, you know, through another way, Nottingham Forest secured their place in the Premier League for another season with a 1-0 win over Arsenal, thus handing the title to Manchester City.
Yeah, and Arsenal, who won only two of the last eight games after being 8 points ahead, well and truly sort of bottled it, really, unfortunately. But I think most people would agree that, I mean, Man City are a fabulous team. They've got a great coach, and they bought well. They don't seem to spend too much for players. They just sort of seem to be able to get their whole recruitment thing right. Haaland, obviously a freak, and he wanted to play there because his dad played there, could have gone anywhere else. So fair play to them, best team. They played their reserves this morning and still beat Chelsea. Ran rings around them. So well and truly well deserved champions, and and a treble, which is hard to see them not winning the treble. It's easier said than done.
Oh, yeah, it is easier said than done. They've still got to play us in the FA Cup, and they've still got to play AC Milan. But do you know what? I just can't see them not winning it. That's how good that side is. Of course, some of the other results over the weekend, we could say Spurs lost to Brentford 3-1, and a good win, and a much-needed win for Manchester United over Bournemouth 1-0. Aston Villa 1, Liverpool 1. A former player coming, and Flaminio coming back to haunt Liverpool. And of course, Wolves 1, Everton 1, much needed points for Everton. And of course, Fulham 2, Crystal Palace 2.
Yeah, I mean, the Liverpool one's an interesting one. I mean, obviously, Villa really probably should have won that game. They're still fighting for a Europa Conference League spot. But it well and truly put Liverpool out of contention for, obviously, top four. They missed Villa missed a penalty. I guess Emery's been very good for Villa. I mean, he's really come in and turned that team around, and he's only really signed a left-back, so he's probably my manager of the season. I mean, you can't keep giving it to Pep every year, so great result for them. Everton scrambled a goal, I think, in the 90th minute, and that might just be enough for them, given that Leicester and Leeds have got really tough finishing games. Spurs, I mean, it must be an awful time to be a Spurs fan. I mean, how he got scores his 28th goal of the season, and they can't win at home against Brentford. So, lots of interesting matchups and big game tomorrow for Leicester away to Newcastle.
Absolutely, and of course, as you just said, 1-0 victory for Man City, Alvarez scoring the goal. Brighton had a good 3-1 win over Southampton, securing European football. Evan Ferguson, wow, this kid, this young Irish kid's good, 2 goals. And of course, at one point, Leeds were ahead 1-0 over West Ham, and I was believing maybe Big Sam is better than Pep and better than Jurgen, but situation normal. West Ham went on to win 3-1. Leeds, Leicester, look in a really precarious position now.
Yeah, look, I think most people would agree it would be a bit sad to see Leicester go down. Given you know, they were the FA Cup and Premier League, you know, in recent years, and loads of talent. I guess the only thing in their book is that they've got it. You know, they've got 2 games, so it's still in their hands. You know, away to Newcastle, that's not going to be easy. But if they could nick a point and maybe win their last game at home, you sort of think that they might get up. But the problem for them is that Everton have got Bournemouth at home in the last game, and you know they're going to win that game because they have to. And at that point, you know, Leicester, if they don't win tomorrow, they're screwed. So yeah, they've got 2 games and got to win them both really to have a chance and hope results don't go the other way.
And of course, when we go to the A-League, and the Melbourne City juggernaut keeps on rolling on, 4-0 over Sydney FC. And of course, Central Coast Mariners 2, Adelaide 1. Great news for James McGarry and Storm Roo. They'll be playing in the A-League final, so it's great news for them. And I'm really hoping that Central Coast Mariners can win that, but this Melbourne City, you know, they've been the best team all season.
Yeah, no, they certainly have. And I mean, the amazing Jimmy McLaren didn't score in that game where they beat Sydney 4-0 in Melbourne. Yeah, I guess all the critics will have their say now, because obviously Sydney bought the final and they've now got 2 non-Sydney teams in the final. So hard to know what sort of crowd they're going to get to that. I think it'll be a cracker. I mean, Central Coast are very attacking, very good side going forward. Obviously, got a couple of Kiwis in the team, so obviously that would be a lot of people supporting them. But I think it'll be an interesting final. I don't think it's a walkover, that's for sure. And yeah, I mean, it's easier for Central Coast Mariners fans to get to Sydney than it is for Melbourne fans, and Melbourne City don't have that many anyway.
And of course, over the weekend, New Zealand under-20s started their campaign at the FIFA under-20s World Cup. Good 1-0 win over Guatemala. Norman Garbutt, the brother of all-white Matthew Garbutt, well-taken goal. You know, I'm really hoping that they can. It's good to have that win. They've got Uzbekistan next, who will be hard. They're the Asian champions. And, of course, they've got the host Argentina in that group. But, you know, it's an encouraging display by the New Zealand under-20s.
Yeah, and they're absolutely buzzing about it. I was actually texting Darren Beasley yesterday, and he just said the boys are absolutely, you know, excited about the opportunity. It is a tough group. I think people underestimate Uzbekistan, but of course they were Asian champions, as you say, so that's not going to be easy. But if they could get a point from that game, it would certainly give them a bit of heart going into the last game. I can see them getting out of the group, you know. I mean, they look like a good football team. They keep the ball well. They move it around. They've got a bit of pace. Everybody looks athletic. So it's a really good-looking New Zealand team, and it's a fine crop of kids. They're the young boy in midfield. I can't remember his name.
I know what you mean. He's a
Herdman.
Very good... Yeah, Jay Herdman's. Yeah, very good footballer.
He looks absolutely class, and just a little guy, and he gets up by, he's got a great first touch, and he closes down, and he ran himself into the ground, and they took him off with about 5 to go, look, very exciting group of talent, you know, moving, and it's really good to see that sort of pipeline of players that's coming through that's going to sort of push their way into All-Whites teams, and with Darren there, I mean, Darren's going to be involved in the All-Whites in some situation. If he's not the coach, he'll have to be an assistant, because he's the only one that really has the knowledge of the players. So yeah, exciting times for the boys.
Absolutely. And do you think Erling Haaland, Casemiro, all the superstars of the EPL are looking forward to next season going to Luton?
Yeah, I certainly think that Luton, Luton's definitely on the cards. Probably not. what a history they've had, really. I mean, they've gone from
non-league.
They were the plastic pitch, and then they dug that up, they non-league, and then all the way back again. Yeah, pretty exciting. But I always sort of seen them as a Premier League team. You know, I've got a couple of played with a guy called Malcolm Donnelly for Newcastle Laren back in Northern Ireland.
Yes, played there. Mel Donnelly,
Yeah, great player, and I know his brother I played with as well. So yeah, look, I got a bit of a soft spot for them, and it won't be easy, and they'll need to certainly sign some players.
Oh, yeah, but I think they're running off on a budget. I'm going to speak to Sean Summerfield, who's in our panel today, and he said to me was all about Wrexham. I said this story actually beats Wrexham with no Hollywood owners.
That's right, and it's the Hollywood owners that give extra makes Wrexham's story a big story. But it's going to be exciting. Leeds, I'm not worried about Leeds going down, Southampton, it's done, but I just love to see if Leicester could actually get up and beat Newcastle tomorrow, and that way Man United might sneak up the third.
Absolutely, that would actually, yes, you did right there, Noel. Well, thanks a lot, Noel. We'll catch up next week where we're on the final day, and then we'll talk a bit more about not only the final day of the EPL, but the A-League Grand Final. Thank you very much, Noel.
Look forward to it.
Cheers, thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Noel Barkley, a really great analyst of the game. Really enjoy it when he comes on. And we not only do we speak about the EPL, we cover A-League and we also cover New Zealand football. Okay, so next up I'm going to he's back, the Silver Tongue Silver Fox, Sean Summerfield. I'm just going to play a bit of music and we'll get on to him straight away.
They say the sun.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Sports Review. And, of course, he's back. The greatest, the most funkiest voice on New Zealand broadcasting sports radio. The silver tongue, silver fox, Sean Summerfield. Good afternoon, Mr. Summerfield. Great to have you back.
Mate, we've got to do these things before you've had lunchtime drinks.
Well, God, I wouldn't mind one at the moment, you know, when I was having problems with these phones. But anyway, hey, great to have you back. I think last time we spoke, we were at a small studio in Dominion Road, and I was virtually going to strangle you because you were giving our good mate Mark Watson winded him up during an interview. But, hey, it's great to have you back. And, of course, always good. It's always good having a chat about sports. Of course, motorsports, we might as well rip into the motorsports. Courtney Duncan looks like she's on the verge to winning another championship.
Oh, well and truly, and that sort of double win she had in France was epic, because it's made her the winningest female motocross rider of all time, with 22 Grand Prix wins, and both times she beat her toughest competitor, Chiara Fontanesi, who happens also to be the previous record holder of the most wins. So it was a huge weekend for Courtney on the Kawasaki there. So she's, I think she's, and, you know, keep in mind too, Fontanesi's won 6 world championships, so it's not like it was an easy beat, but now she's ahead by 20 points, so looking very, very good, absolute class act, and, you know, good to see the series back on track after COVID muffins around.
Yeah, and of course we also had some IndyCar qualification. I think Scott Dixon qualified 4th. Was that correct, Sean?
I think I've got him at 6th. But mate, Indy's sometimes a hard one to figure out. The brutal thing is the way that you can actually be like Rahal, just be bumped off the grid. But by your teammate, no less. But Scott Dixon's qualified 6th. I think they start 3 wide, so he'll be on the second row based on that, on the outside. Don't know if that's good or not. Scott McLaughlin back in 14th. So, look, it's a 800-kilometre race. There's a long way to go. And I've been criticised by this before, but a few drivers have agreed with me. It's a bit like a Tour de France stage, Eamon, where you want to just stay in the right place, conserve your fuel or your energy for as long as you can, and be ready to pounce, because so much can happen in that race, you know. And I honestly believe, hey, it's nice to be on pole and it can keep you out of trouble, but the big thing early on is staying out of trouble, staying on that lead lap if you can, and getting lucky with the safety cars. And but it is a thrilling race, and I've been lucky enough to go to some incredible sporting events over my career, and Indy would have to be the most awe-inspiring. You know, over 300,000 people at the track, and it's huge. There's I think two-thirds of a golf course on the infield, and it is just, and it's the warmest, most welcoming place. If you love sport, you've got to go to an Indy 500. But it's the other thing you don't get ready for is when those cars come past you, they're getting pretty darn close to 400 k's an hour. I was lucky enough to be in the pits during the carb day, the sort of final run before the race, and they fly past, and the first time I flew past, I actually stopped breathing for a moment. I thought I was ready for the speed, and I spoke to Scott Dixon about it, and he said, you just get in and drive. He said it was only one time where, for whatever reason, he wasn't running a session, and he went up to one of the turns and to watch the cars come past, and he was like, oh, bugger, we go this fast? Because when you're in the car, and these cars, if you look at pictures of them, they're staggered. So they're set up to run on the oval. The wheels are sort of tilted to the right. And then you've got the steering wheel, which is, when you're in the straight, it's not actually pointing straight ahead. It's turning to the right, so that when you go around the banking, your arms are in the strongest place to hold the wheel, because the G-forces are so incredible. I mean, it's an amazing race. Yes, you think it's turning left for 800 k's, but it is far, far more than that. And, you know, I think Scott Dixon's due another one, Eamon.
I think he is too, and it'll be great if to imagine if we had a Kiwi one too. That'll be fantastic. Of course, the Gids and the Supercars, he got a third in one of the races in Tasmania. Also, he's going to be given a NASCAR ride in a street race in Chicago as well too.
Yeah, that's good. NASCAR have been doing a bit of this, and I think he'll do well because he is such a naturally gifted driver. And obviously, Jenson Button's had a go lately. A few of the other big sort of worldwide names are. So that's going to be awesome. But obviously, you know, his bread and butter is the supercars. And look, he's sort of said he was able to cope with this new car, but he's clearly not happy with it and didn't have the speed. And he worked his way from a P9 qualifying to, get through. I think it was his second and, oh no, third in the first race, just by an Andre Harmgartner, the other Kiwi. And obviously crashed in the second race early on. But the team did an incredible job to get the car back going again, got him out on the track, and he managed to finish fourth, which has just kept him sort of in the running for the championship, because obviously this Kostecki is doing very, very well. But what I reckon is great is it does actually set us up for a bit of a grandstand finish. As much as Shane winning like he did last year was awesome, you sort of want to see a fight right to the end. You want every race to absolutely mean something other than a mark on a record book. So as long as a Kiwi wins it, and it's close, that's the perfect result for me.
Absolutely. And of course, Liam Lawson going great guns in Japan. And of course, he's coming. How close is he to that F1 drive, Sean, from what you're hearing?
Oh, look, he's got to be close. I think Super Formula Japan, if it can sound like you've been sort of, you know, sent to Coventry, but it's not. It's these cars are the second fastest thing to Formula One, so faster than Indy cars. Seriously quick, super professional championship. Yes, a lot of Japanese drivers, but other drivers go there and do their thing. Nick Cassidy, the Kiwi guy, won the series. Liam did what he did. He's always quick the first time he gets in the car. He won his first race. Obviously, his teammate wasn't racing. Who's the champ? He's got a collapsed lung before, bugger, and so he was just there sort of helping out. So that sort of made things a bit easier for Liam, but he did what he did, drove a perfect race, and he knows how to work with his tyres and do everything there, and and he's leading the championship, which is really, really important. They're very aware of it. Helmut Marko is head of the driver development for Red Bull. As he's come and said, it's close to F1 than Formula 2 is. And, you'd have to think, there's a bit of talk that, hang on, what about Daniel Ricciardo, who's floating around Red Bull? Wouldn't they use him to get in the car? But I think, Red Bull, for the greater part, they've always been big on bringing in new talent. And, the one all that Liam's got to do is win races. Then it stops being an argument, Eamon. If you're winning races, they've almost got no choice but to pick you.
That's
the same with Piastri going into McLaren. Everyone wanted them because once you're winning races, once you're there, you've got to be an absolute doorknob for them not to want you.
Absolutely, and of course we've always said it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when it's going to happen. Anyway, I was watching a bit, I caught up on the golf. Brooks Koepka won the PGA Championship, Ryan Fox tied for 23rd. I watched a bit of Super Rugby over the weekend. I'm going to say this to you right now. I would say any side that's playing the Hurricanes, maybe could be in for a bit of a surprise. I think they're the dark horse of this competition, Sean.
I don't know. But then again, though, the Blues could beat the Hurricanes this week.
Yeah, it's all up for grabs, man.
Crusaders win. The Chiefs don't travel well when they head away to Perth. How high could the Crusaders finish? I reckon the Crusaders have got this. I'm not saying this because of my breeding. I think... the whole, what do they say, class is permanent. And, you think that there's a coach there that's going to want this more than anything to finish on an absolute high note. to sort of confirm his position as the best coach in the country, which you need to be to go into that top job, and to sort of have gives yourself a bit of leeway there. But you know, I just think though, there's the Crusaders come on, get their roster, get some better shape. I think they're timing it, maybe not on purpose, but they're timing it perfectly. So I almost a few weeks ago, Eamon, I considered going and putting money on them playing 350. I reckon they're looking real good.
I think you could be right, but I'd definitely be aware of those Hurricanes. It's going to be how well.
I'm with you there, mate. The thing is, any team could be any team, and the team that's been heartbreaking this year is the Highlanders again. You know, it's they only have to flick a switch and they can knock over anyone. That's the way it is. Hey, it does annoy me though. They keep calling these Derby. Now, isn't a Derby playing with your next door neighbour?
Of course it is.
I'm sorry, but there's a South Island Derby, and then there's the Chiefs and the Blues, and the Hurricanes and the Chiefs. I'm sorry. Other than that, I hate them being called derbies. Yes, they're a local clash, right? But they're not a derby. Sorry, I'm just being a pedant with that, but that one just bugs the heck out of me.
And I'm going to agree with you there. Derbies should be about NPC rugby. Canterbury versus Tasman. That's a derby. Mid-Canterbury versus South Canterbury. In Heartland, that's a derby. When they bring this word into Super Rugby, it's basically five franchises. Yeah, I don't agree with it.
I don't mind the South Island derby. I don't mind a Northern derby. And probably a slight correction, Auckland against North Harbour isn't a derby. It's a demolition derby. You know your history.
I definitely do.
Hey, Nate, we talked about supercars before. Can I just go back to Tasmania?
Yep.
Because we had the Porsche Michelin Sprint Series, which is the second tier of the Porsche Carrera Cup in Australia. And there's a bunch of young drivers, sort of this Porsche Team New Zealand. I've got Ronan Murphy, who's Greg Murphy's son, Zach Stitchbury, who's the son of the late Stitchbury. And then you've got Marco Giltrap, who the young kid, obviously, I've had a fair bit to do with. Marco won the first round.
Oh, awesome.
He won again on Saturday. He won this round as well. But then Ronan Murphy, he won, got his first win over in Aussie, winning yesterday. And then Zach Stitchbury was there as well. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, the 1-2 finish there. So there's some really cool things for those three Kiwi drivers racing in that series. It's just really awesome. Because all the cars are the same.
Yep. I'm going to say that is fantastic. And we're going to discuss Luton and Wrexham, but we could discuss that at another time. We're running out of time.
Hayden Paddon leads the European Rally Championship. And I looked at it. I actually think Coventry are even better story than Luton.
Yeah, but I bet you, and I can bet you anything. Coventry and Wrexham are a better place to go to than Luton, from what
Coventry haven't even got a ground for this year. It's awesome. I love Wrexham. You're wrong, but you ask me Luton, I think Coventry's the coolest story. But no, I love Wrexham. Ryan Reynolds, he's a beautiful man.
On that, from one beautiful man to another, I will thank you very, very much. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll catch up the next few weeks, Sean.
Love you, brother.
Cheers, mate. Sean Summerfield, thank you very much. That's us done.